Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Hi, I'm. We are having some technical difficulties, and I'm going live right now. So, Jason, we're trying to get Jason on, and we'll see what happens. So, hold on, just a minute. So anyway, we just wanted to let you know that, sorry for the technical difficulties, but we have a returning guest tonight. Our new guest is David Haben. He's a paramedic. Excuse me, a paramedic. He's been on duty for how long? I think it's like 40-something years. And
close, 38 years.
38 years. Oh, my gosh. Hi, David. You're there.
I'm here, yeah.
So sorry, folks. We had some, like I said, we had some tough technical difficulties, and Jason's going to try and get in online if he can. So, so I'm going to do a quick introduction, David. David is, he has a volunteer for... doing cemetery tours, and he's also he is a photographer and is into cemetery symbolism. So we're going to be talking about that tonight. And David, how are you doing?
I'm very well. I had a terrific Indian dinner for my New Year's Eve dinner, and it was great. So I'm feeling quite good.
Good. I love. Is that Eastern Indian food, of course?
Yes. Yeah, we have a great restaurant here in Boise. It's called the Bombay Inn. It's got very authentic Indian food, and it was quite good.
Wonderful. That's great. I love Indian food. There's so many people that don't like Indian food because it may be too spicy or the curry, but I love it. I just really embrace all the different flavors and the different herbs that are going into it.
Yeah, it was very good. They actually kind of customized the dish. They ask you if you want it mild or medium or hot. And I usually get the medium of that, so that usually works out really well. But I had a very nice lamb dish tonight.
Wonderful. So quickly, you want to tell our audience a little bit about yourself, and we'll just go right into the cemetery symbology.
Okay. I have, what got me involved in this, first off, as you mentioned, I've been a paramedic for about 38 years. I grew up in the Chicago area and I did law enforcement in the Chicago area and moved out to Oregon a long time ago and started working in emergency medical services there, became a paramedic, and moved on to Idaho, worked with the state EMS Bureau here in Idaho for a long time. I've been in Idaho for quite a long time now. And I started getting interested in photographing cemeteries and graveyards and the symbolism because of my love for music. Growing up in Chicago, I'm a big blues fan, and I started finding out about some of the grave sites of some of the really great blues players back in Chicago, and started doing some research and photographing there, and that just kind of grew. And I got very interested in the history of the cemeteries and the graveyards, and especially the symbolism. I've been doing a lot of research in that for years now. A lot of our ancestors were illiterate, so if you put a whole bunch of information on a gravestone, you could carve in a lot of words, but if they couldn't read, they couldn't tell what it was about. But symbols are kind of the universal language. And symbols mean quite a bit. People can look at the gravestone, and even if they don't read, they can tell things like the person's profession, religious affiliation, fraternal organizations, even things like whether they were really loved, their sense of humor, things like that. And so it's grown. I've got thousands and thousands of photographs I've taken literally all over the world, and it's become it's an interesting but a very fun project for me.
So what would you say would be the most interesting symbol that you have come across, or symbols or interesting experiences, David?
An interesting symbol, you said?
Yes, interesting symbols or experiences that you run across when you come through.
Actually, there's one I just got a picture of not too long ago. Somebody sent this to me. It's a gravestone. I wish you're... I don't know if there's any way I could post it so people could see it on your site, but probably the most interesting one was one that it took me actually a long time to figure out. I had to do a lot of research and finally figure out what it was. There's a really beautiful symbol. First off, there's a symbol that you see on a lot of old stones where it's a hand holding an open book, and that generally indicates the deceased, that's the hand of the deceased, and they're reading the Bible. So that means they're a person of faith. That means they were a religious person, a person of faith. But the symbol that I saw had the book being held by the hand, but then on top of that was a fully bloomed rose, and coming out of that was a little rosebud. And I was trying to figure out, usually roses are on women's graves, and this particular one was a man's grave. And I finally, through a lot of research and talking to a lot of people, we found out what it was. Of course, the book, the hand holding the book, again, that means that's a person of faith. They're reading the Bible. They're holding the Bible. The fully bloomed rose that's on top of that, usually that's on women's graves. And a fully bloomed rose usually means that it was a woman that died, that she had lived a full life. She had fully bloomed on earth. She had lived a full life. And of course, we've got to remember back in the 1700s, 1800s, a full life might be 40 years old. But it was the fully bloomed life. It was first off, the thing that was strange was it was on a man's grave, and secondly, the little bud that was sticking out of the top. So the fully bloomed rose means that person fully bloomed on earth. They were an adult. They lived a full life. But now they have transitioned into the next life, into heaven, and the little rosebud indicates they're starting their brand new life in heaven, in their spirit life. They're starting all over again as a little bud. And that symbol was probably one of the neatest ones I've seen. It took a little research, but that's one of my favorite ones as well. Another one is an hourglass that symbolizes time, the passage of time. And there's different styles, but some hourglasses have wings, beautiful angel wings on them sometimes. And that indicates the flight of time. Time flies, time passes. And that's another one of my favorites.
Oh, that is interesting. Wow. So each one, gravesite has their own little symbolisms on the middle, right? Correct?
That's correct. They have all different symbols, and again, the symbols, all the symbols, different flowers, different emblems, things like that. They all mean something. So people would look at that grave, and they would get a lot of information from that. And you could have anything carved on the stone that you wanted. The older stones, especially the older stones, the granites and the marble stones, of course, they used to be all hand carved. Now it's machine done. But you could get it any symbol that you wanted carved on your ancestors or your relatives' stone, and each one can have different ones. And I still find out every once in a while I'll still spot one that I had not seen before and have to do a little research to find out what it means.
Can you tell whether they're hand carved? Is it an ear, or is it something that you could like if I were to go and I decide I want to be buried, can I possibly have it specifically to be hand-carved, or it, like you said, everything's all machine done?
I think there are probably still companies around that still will hand-carve stones. I'm not sure if there are many of them left. Most of them now are done either by machine or at least with power tools. But you can pretty much figure anything in the 1800s, 1700s, even possibly early 1900s, were all done by hand carvers. They were artists. They carved using just hand tools and carved the lettering, carved the stones and the symbols.
Wow, that's amazing.
It was just quite an art.
Hello? What was that?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I wasn't sure. You know, have you been to different grave sites where they have, like, particular cultures? Like, in our culture, we have where my grandmother is buried. She's buried in a Chinese cemetery. And in the Chinese cemetery, I can't read Chinese anymore, but I used to be able to. But each different faith or culture has their own symbolism or have their own writings. Have you noticed that too?
Well, yes. There are some symbols that are more predominant, different parts of the country, different religions. I've been lucky enough to visit some cemeteries in other countries. I have been to quite a few Canadian ones. They're fairly similar to ours. But I've had a chance over the years. I've visited cemeteries in Ireland and over in Malaysia. And they all have specific symbols that mean something to them. A lot of them are connected with religion. You know, there are certain religions that are more predominant, for example, in Malaysia. Buddhist religion is very common over there, so you see a lot of symbols from that religion. The Irish cemeteries I've been to, Catholic symbols are very important. There are some specific symbols that are in the Catholic religion that you see more often. But mostly the different cultures have their own symbols, but it's often religious based.
So I'm curious, with the Catholic, what do they have? What's the symbols are usually with the Catholic religion? I'm just curious.
Well, Catholic religions often will have just real simple ones. For example, they may have a rosary carved on the stone or on the marker. There's it's a symbol that it looks like a P with an X at the bottom, and that's a religious symbol in the Catholic religion. That's often on that indicates often it's a priest. That's a symbol for them. Catholic religions, you often will see statues. For example, a lot of them will have statues on the graves. They'll have, instead of just the simple markers, they'll have a statue that's often going to be a saint or possibly the Virgin Mary or Jesus. And you see primarily saints, the Holy Family, the Virgin Mary on Catholic stones as well. Again, sometimes it's just carved on a regular stone. Sometimes it's a beautiful life-size statue.
Oh, that's amazing. Wow.
Yeah. Some of the more beautiful ones are...
Have you particularly have a liking for, or do you see each piece as an individual, you know, describing that person who has crossed over?
There's interesting. There's a statue often... women on gravestones or statues of women on stones. A woman indicates comfort. Women are comforting, and it indicates comfort and peace. And there are statues that are called eternal mourners. And eternal mourners are generally statues of young women, beautiful young women usually. And they'll be in a long gown sometimes, and sometimes they'll have their right finger will be pointing up towards heaven, indicating that's where the person is. But these statues can be very, very beautiful. They're life-size generally, or even larger, and they're beautiful women, beautiful statues. And they're called eternal mourners because you can't always be at the grave mourning this person forever. Obviously, you can't stay at the grave all the time. But the statue of this beautiful woman that's there, this eternal mourner, she will always be there at the grave. She'll always be there to mourn this person. And these can be very beautiful. There's little details that are kind of important. Often they're pointing up, like I said, they're pointing up to heaven. They may be holding a wreath, a laurel wreath, indicating victory over death in one of their hands. And they generally, I can't say it's 100% all the time, but most of them that I've seen, most of them, they always also, under this long gown that they're wearing, they will have one foot that's visible, and that one foot is the indication of their purity. where that came from, I'm
wow,
not exactly sure.
That's amazing.
But one foot visible on these beautiful women, these statues, indicates purity. And again, they're there, so they can eternally mourn that person. They're eternally there at the grave mourning that person. And again, they're very frequently statues of young women. They're very lovely women and very shapely women too. There's one back in Chicago that I saw at a cemetery, and she's known as the most, this is kind of strange, she's known as the most erotic eternal mourner in Chicago. And it's a statue of a very beautiful young lady, and it almost, it's amazing. The people that the carved the statue are amazing. She's got a long gown on, but it almost looks transparent. You can see she's a very shapely young lady. And it's one of my favorites. And then I started seeing her in other places, the same statue. And so far, I and other people have found her, the same statue, in I believe it's at least 8 cemeteries all over the country. And it was a company back east that did several of these statues exactly the same and shipped them all over the country. So there's like 6 or 8 different cemeteries all over the country, and I've seen several of them. It's the exact same statue, and it's a very beautiful statue. It's very nicely done.
That's amazing. That's awesome. Yeah, I remember myself, I was able to go to Argentina, and Eva Perón, we went to her cemetery, my husband and I, and how some of these the grave sites, they're like with columns. I mean, they're just like immaculate. I mean, this is nothing compared to, it's like, how would it make it a comparison, a person who has a lot of money, they're able to have like, what do you call those, like a private, it's enclosed and they look like big columns and everything. I see a lot of that in Argentina. It's amazing, especially the wealthier people. And it was interesting how it's just very, very immaculate, very detailed, and it has a very much of a like a French and Italian influence into their designs with their grave sites. What do you call that?
Yeah.
Is it a I don't know what you call it. It's all enclosed,
well,
you know, David. We walk
it's
in.
It's called a mausoleum.
Is that what you call that?
Yeah, it looks like a house, right? A little house.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically.
See a lot of that.
Yeah, they're stone, they're granite, but it's small houses. They're called mausoleums, and usually those are for families. You see, there'll be a family. Once in a while, it may be only one person. But those were and are still, they're very expensive. And again, the graves that I've seen, you can tell. I mean, if the family had was wealthy, things like that, they put a lot of money into these beautiful mausoleums, or like I said, beautiful statues, things like that. And it's interesting too with the history. There's of course stories of some grave sites that we have a little paranormal link to them. There's a beautiful grave back in Chicago. And this lady is known as the Italian Bride. And it's the statue. It's a statue of her on top of this huge granite marker. It's a full-size statue of her. And she's in the carving. The statue is of her in her wedding dress. That's why she's called the Italian Bride. And she died at a very young age and died in childbirth. So she and the baby are buried in the same casket, and she was buried in her wedding dress. So she was buried in the casket in her wedding dress. The baby was buried with her, and after it's an above ground crypt. It's actually a crypt. She's not buried in the ground. It's an above ground crypt with a big statue of her on the top. And her mother kept having these dreams for years that the girl had been buried. Before she died, she'd been buried alive. And she had these horrible dreams for several years. And she finally convinced the cemetery and the archdiocese there to exhume the girl's body and to check, to look at her. And there's actually a picture on her crypt now of when they exhumed her and they opened up her casket, and her body was in near perfect condition. It was like 7 years after she had died. She'd been buried for 7 years, but they opened up the casket and she was laying there, and it was almost, they said, like the day that she was placed in the casket. Her body was in absolutely perfect condition. It hadn't deteriorated or anything. And there's a picture of it. They took a picture of her in her casket, and that's on her crypt now. That's also there that you can see. There's a lot of stories like that with graves that have particular little paranormal links to them like that.
So let me ask you, as a you've been in the medical field for many years, why do you think that her body looks so preserved after that many years? You would think that you would see some kind of decay and everything. Not to be gross or anything or graphic, but I'm just curious why.
Well, of course, a lot of people say, oh, my gosh, there's a lot of people that wanted to make her a saint. They said that she was, you know, her body was perfect, she was incorruptible, and they wanted to make her a saint and had a lot of religious connection with that. But what they figured out was that they're under the exact right conditions as far as temperature, even the composition of the minerals in the ground or things like that. There's a lot of scientific evidence that would allow her to still look that way. It's not common, but there's another story that's almost identical to that in Cuba. And there was a woman that died in childbirth, and she had a beautiful crypt. And again, there was a statue of her placed on the crypt. And the baby, and this is the story anyways, when she died, she was placed in the coffin. And it was very common practice back in the early 1900s and 1800s that if a woman died in childbirth and the child died, the child was placed in the same casket. And the child was placed in the same casket between the mother's legs. That's where they were entombed that way. The lady, when she died, again, she was buried with the baby, but the baby was between her legs. Her husband was just completely distraught, and he went literally every single day. He went visited the grave. He knocked on the stone to kind of get her attention, kind of wake her up. His story was he knocked on the stone to wake her up so that she would hear him when he was talking to her. And for some reason, a few years after she died, it was like 3 or 4 years after she died, he just insisted on seeing her one more time. So they exhumed the body. She was also in an above-ground crypt. They exhumed the body. They opened up the casket. She was, again, just like the Italian bride, she was in perfect condition. And the statue of her on top of the grave, there was a very popular stone carver, carved the statue of her holding the baby. Well, when they were buried, the baby was placed between her legs when they were buried. Supposedly, the story is when they opened up the casket, the baby, she now was holding the baby, the body of the baby in the casket.
Oh, that's
she was in perfect condition and was holding the baby, just almost identical to what the statue looked like. So that happens once in a while, and there's some scientific stuff involved with that, with temperature and things like that. But it does happen once in a while. But again, you know, religious groups, people have placed offerings at her grave now. They consider her a saint, or they consider her holy. They come and ask favors and leave notes and flowers and things, and her grave is always really highly decorated. So, you know, interesting stories like that.
That's very, very interesting. That's way cool. So, David, I know you're a paranormal investigator on top of that, and so, you know, taking thousands and thousands of photos, have you had any paranormal experiences that you want to share with our listeners?
Well, I haven't really had any experiences as far as paranormal in cemeteries. The team that I'm with, the paranormal investigation team, we've done a couple of cemeteries. We don't really find much in cemeteries. Once in a while we do have activity. There are some cemeteries that have quite a bit of activity. There's some famous ones, and I keep going back to Chicago because that's where some really interesting ones are. But there's one in Chicago called Bachelor's Grove Cemetery, and that's been investigated by paranormal teams for years. And it got its name because years ago, before Chicago was actually settled, back in the 1800s and whatnot, a group of German bachelor farmers came over to that part of the country, and the plan was they were going to set up their farms, get their farms established, and then go back to Germany, get wives, and then bring wives back so they have families. But they were here to get their farms established first. So they were bachelor farmers, German bachelor farmers. So that's why it's called Bachelor's Grove. It's been a very, it's been a very ignored, desecrated, vandalized cemetery. It's in the middle of a forest preserve in Chicago, and it's been vandalized a lot. It's been neglected, and right next to it is a huge pond that is right next to a main highway in Chicago, and the story is that back in the old days of the 20s, the Chicago Outfit, when they would whack somebody, they drive by that pond and shove them out the car so there could be bodies of old Chicago mob guys at the bottom. But they think because possibly of the vandalism and the desecration and things, it's very active. There have been over 100 sightings of apparitions and things in the cemetery. There have been a couple of very famous photographs where they've caught an apparition of a young lady sitting on a stone, one of the stones.
You've never caught anything paranormal or anything like that on your camera or any pictures? Have you ever examined those? I'm just curious.
I've gotten just a couple. Excuse me. I've gotten a couple that will show. We're always very careful when we do an investigation. No smoking, things like that. If it's cold and your breath shows up in the air, we always hold our breath when we take the photographs, things like that. We want to make sure that they're clean. I've gotten some photographs of a couple of them of a mist that looked like might be something interesting there. There's no reason for that mist to be there. Have gotten what appeared what could be eyes reflecting into my flash. I've gotten a couple of those. I haven't gotten a lot, though. I haven't gotten many. And one of the things we always look for when we go do an investigation of any location is, first off, we try to figure out why there might be paranormal activity there. Why would their spirits be hanging around there? And we think that cemeteries, for example, aren't usually very active, except for ones like the one in Chicago. They've been very desecrated and vandalized and kind of stirs the spirits up. But normally cemeteries aren't fairly active because if you were a spirit and you could be anywhere you wanted to, why would you hang out in a cemetery? Another, and to kind of go along with that, is that's one of the theories we have why so many huge famous resorts and hotels and old hotels and things have activity, because when they were alive, people went there and had a great time. It was a beautiful big resort, a beautiful hotel. They were well taken care of. They loved being there. And now as a spirit, they kind of want to go back to where they had a good time.
Wow. Gee. Well, Jason would like to ask, what's your opinion on the ghost shows and people suddenly thinking they are professional ghost hunters? So Jason was asking on that, and he wants to see what's your take on that.
The TV shows you're talking about?
I think that's what he's asking. He's asking, what is your opinion on all the ghost shows and people suddenly thinking they are professional ghost hunters? What's your opinion on that?
Well, one of the things that our team does, we're part of, talking about kind of TV shows, we're connected in a way, the TV show Ghost Hunters, Jason and Grant, that's the Atlantic Paranormal Society, and they have very strict rules as far as the scientific equipment And we follow those rules. We use a lot of scientific equipment. And basically what we do is if something happens that's out of the ordinary, we look for every single possibility of a normal explanation before we consider it. We can't explain it. Not everybody does that. Some programs they'll hear a noise. Oh my gosh, it's got to be a ghost. Well, they don't look for the normal explanations first, and that's the important part. You know, if something appears to be abnormal, look for all the different things that could be causing it. The normal things. We've gone into residences to do investigations, and pictures vibrate on they tell us pictures vibrate on the wall and things move. Well, while we're there, we find out, yeah, they do. The pictures vibrate. Things move across the table. But that happens when a big semi-truck drives by down the street, you know, and vibrates the whole house. So we always look for rule out every possible explanation first before we say that it's paranormal or could be paranormal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Some of the shows.
Yeah, because, you know, there's a lot of them, and I don't get TV, and I said that on the air before, so I don't get TV. So, you know, my exposure to these shows are very limited in what I see of, you know, when I go to my daughter's house or somebody else or somebody talks about it. But I imagine there's so many. There's a plethora of different ghost shows and things like that. And, you know, you just don't know
there's
if
so
they're
many
really
that are
real or they're just trying to, you know, they're just trying to get a kick or people to,
yeah,
you know,
there are
talk,
so many
that.
Shows.
I think I saw a ghost, or I think I hear something.
Exactly,
kind of thing,
exactly,
you know?
Yeah. And there's so many shows that are they're more drama than anything else. They get very dramatic when they hear something or think they see something. Oh my gosh, did you hear that? It must be a ghost. You know, well, let's look, let's find out. You know what that was first before we start jumping to conclusions like that. There's a lot of shows that are very dramatic, some are better than others. And the other thing you have to remember too, if you have a show, you see a show on TV that's a half hour, an hour long, it looks like they were there for like one night or for one day. To get that hour, that half hour full of activity, all that stuff, that interesting stuff that they're showing, they may be at that location for 1 or 2 weeks to get all that. They may go for nights and nights and not have anything. So they have to be there to get enough to fill up a half hour, an hour TV show. They're there often for a very long time. It's not like they just go in and, all this activity happened in an hour. No, it didn't. It took quite a bit of time to gather all that. And we've done a lot of investigations where we don't get anything. And that's one of the things with spirits. They don't perform on command. Just because you're there and you're talking to them doesn't mean that they necessarily want to talk to you. So
exactly.
They may be
they're
there.
Human too,
you know,
and they have their moods just like you and I. And sometimes, you know, they may not like a person. There's so many various reasons and things like that. And I'm glad you're putting that in perspective, David, because, you know, people think that when you have it on TV, whether it's paranormal, you know, ghost shows, or you look at psychic mediums, you know, they think that you're going to just whip it out and be, you know, 100% on top of it, or you're going to, you know, see something, woo-hoo, you know, kind of, you know, makes your day and night and get an EVB recording or spirit box recording or, you know, thermal imaging, but that's exactly, it's a hit and miss. And, you know, just like, and I'm saying this because I used to be a makeup artist for 14 years for the Oregon film and video industry. And, you know, when we do a commercial or we do a video, doing a shoot, you know, it takes 2 weeks, a good one for, you know, maybe just even a commercial. So, you know, when you see these people, they take the good stuff and they put it into whatever the slot, 40-minute slot minus. You know, it's 40-minute slot, not including the commercial. So, you know, they take the best, and that's what you see. They don't see the ones that, you know, you sit there, like you said, all on and on and on, or you see a psychic medium, like the Pluto, and she's hitting them, you know, she's missing a lot of her, you know, the information, or she's not on top of her game. Isn't that true? Very much. That is really so true.
There's a technique that's we've seen on some of the shows that we don't use at all. It's called negative provoking. And
oh, wow.
There's negative provoking, and there's a couple of groups that do this. We see this where instead of simply trying to communicate with a spirit, asking questions, you know, you're talking to someone, you want to be polite, you know. But negative provoking means that you're yelling at them, you're insulting them, you're trying to get them mad so they communicate with you. And that doesn't always work because, you know, if you're yelling at me and insulting me, I'm just going to leave. You know, I'm not going to hang around and communicate with you. So that's something that we really try not to do. There's actually some of the TV shows that have been on for several years. They're getting better. Because these folks are realizing, no, that's not a good idea. It doesn't always work. You know, and don't say anything and don't talk to us if there is a spirit there. You know, don't say anything or talk to them any different than you would a person. Don't insult them. Don't yell at them. Don't try to belittle them, you know, because they're just either going to get really mad or they're just going to leave, you know.
That's true. Or, you know, if they get mad, they can have an adverse reaction or night, you know. That might be, you don't want to provoke something like that, especially if they're not of the best kind.
Yeah. We had kind of an interesting experience. I was at a ghost conference, the Bachelor's Grove Cemetery I was mentioning, that's had a lot of activity. And if you just do a search on Bachelor's Grove Cemetery, a couple of very famous photographs that come up that are really amazing. There's one in particular of a young lady dressed in what appears to be almost like 1800s type clothing, sitting on one of the gravestones. She was picked up on infrared film. But we actually, it's on county property. It's called a forest preserve. I don't know what they call them anywhere else, but in Chicago, they're called forest preserves, and they're basically forests that are smack in the middle of the city, and it's for people to go have picnics and hike and things like that. And Bachelor's Grove is in the middle of one of these, so you can't be there after dark. The area is only open from sunlight to sundown, and if you get caught there after dark, you get arrested. So the group that I was with, this conference, we actually got a permit from the Parks Department to be there at night, which is really rare. They had to really work to get that. And for some reason, the guide, instead of taking us right down the road, right into the cemetery, he wanted to take us through the forest. So we went through the forest, we got to the cemetery, and on the way out, we got lost. So here we are in this very active haunted cemetery in the middle of this forest, and we were lost in the forest for almost 3 hours. So that was kind of an interesting experience.
Wow.
Wandering around trying to find our way out, trying to find our way back to the parking lot and things. And that was quite an interesting experience. A couple of folks had some experiences there in the forest. I think they saw things and they felt things, and, you know, I won't say it was fun, because at the time it wasn't fun, but looking back, it was an interesting experience.
Wow. So I'm looking at it right now, and I see the cemetery. It looks very, and maybe it's the camera. It makes it look kind of eerie and everything, but, so it could look like it has some activity in there. Definitely.
Yeah.
Has it ever been in any case, do you know any of the history, has it been at one time been a war zone, or there's a lot of battles and things like that?
Sorry, I'm sorry, say that one more time.
I said in that area at one time, has it been a battle, like a war zone? You know,
in that particular cemetery, you mean?
The area, yes.
Not that in that area, in Bachelor's Grove, I don't believe so. There are other
okay.
areas in that part of the country. There are other places in and around the Chicago area. There were Indian battles. There were camps for prisoners of war, things like that. But that particular area, that particular cemetery, it was just the farmers in the area. But the theory is on why it's so active. Again, it's just because it's been so heavily vandalized. Stones have been pushed over. It's been basically a lot of times it's been ignored and overgrown with weeds and things. And some every once in a while,
mm-hmm.
some of the group will go in and clean it. But the theory on that is just it's basically just so neglected and so vandalized. There's so much vandalism there that really irritated, you know, the spirits that were there, and it's they get a lot of activity.
I'm curious, how big is that cemetery? Because what I see, and that's just what I'm looking right now, it looks like some kind of a war zone, a battlefield. And I'm just curious, how big is that cemetery? And maybe, you know, is it a big cemetery? How big is it? How many acres would you say?
Well, maybe only about a couple of acres, maybe. It's not really large. I mean, you can very easily, if you stand on one corner, you can very easily see the entire cemetery, and it would only take you a couple of minutes to walk from one side to the other.
Okay.
It's not a large cemetery. There's and if you're looking at the photographs, you can see if there's probably a lot. You can see there the a lot of the stones have been pushed over. There's one that's particularly interesting where there's some activity. There's a large family stone, and in front of it is a very small stone that just says infant daughter. And it was a little girl. I don't remember now exactly how old she was when she died, but she was very young, infant. And infant daughter, she wasn't named, so it was a very good chance she was maybe right after she was born. They hadn't named her by the time she died, so that's why it just says infant daughter on it. But people are very frequently will leave offerings there, toys, dolls, things like that. And there's been a little activity more so in that area. But there's a couple of spots, a couple of areas, a couple of monuments in the cemetery there where activity seems to be a little more common. But it's the whole cemetery is pretty active. But it's not a very large one at all. You can easily cover it in a short period of time.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah, it doesn't look like a, you know, like a, it looks very peaceful, but then again, there's a lot of activity. It's amazing. I'm just curious
yeah.
what the origin of that, because it feels like there's like people in battle. I wonder what the earlier settlers, what happened and that kind of thing. I'd like to get a little bit of the history to find out what's going
yeah.
on about that, why I'm seeing
well,
that.
That would be interesting to do some research on that. That area, like I said, there were Indian battles and things like that in that part of the country in that area. That'd be interesting to see. It's certainly possible that there was something going on there long before the farmers got there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I see. Kind of like battles. There's like been there, you know, passing through, and I don't know. It's really like the army,
yeah.
not army, but
yeah.
you know, military, that kind of thing. So
I
would like
that.
To
yeah.
get a little bit more information and just see why, or are they just passing through? That's very, very interesting.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Have you had any experiences of being bit or scratched or anything like that yourself, being on a paranormal investigation yourself, David?
I have a few, yeah. Again, since we're a pretty scientific group, probably 95% of the investigations that we do, we turn up very normal explanations for things that have happened, or we don't find things. But the 5% that are unexplained, that's the fun part. personally, I again, this is a couple of cemeteries. I've had some interesting photographs, as I mentioned, mists and things like that that we didn't see, that only showed up on the camera. We've done. I'm a tour guide. I'm a volunteer. One of the volunteer things I do. Excuse me. I'm a tour guide. We have an old state penitentiary here in Boise that was used for over 100 years. And
wow.
I'm a tour guide there. It closed down. It was used from 1870 to 1973. And that particular, we do nighttime investigations at the old penitentiary probably three times a year or more. And it's always interesting to go back because we generally get something. We've gotten a lot of EVPs, or in other words, voices. We get a lot of noises. We haven't got a lot of visual stuff. We've gotten a couple of interesting videos, but we get a lot of noises. We hear sometimes pick up very distinctive voices, cell doors slamming, things like that in the cell houses. We just did one there just about, 4 or 6 months ago. And once in a while, we'll actually invite the public to go with us. The public can sign up and go on investigations with us at the old penitentiary. And the public was, we had several people that were with us, and we were just sitting. Again, a lot of the investigations are just sitting and waiting and listening and talking. And we were sitting on the first floor of one of the cell houses. There was nobody else in the cell house except the group on the first floor. And it's a four-story cell house. And got very distinctive footsteps on the floor above us. We get cell door slamming. We've had some pretty good voices. We had an interesting one. We picked up one. We all carry digital recorders with us. And they're all listened to after the investigation. And a very distinctive voice said, "Innocent." Of course, not all the inmates were innocent. But we've heard voices. Our director was being interviewed in one of the cell houses one time by a local TV station. And right in the middle of the interview, you could hear a voice yelling on the upper floors of the cell house, and nobody else was there. Probably the best thing we've ever gotten out of that was we were on the top floor of one of the cell houses that isn't usually open to the public. And in the early 70s, before it closed, there was a prison riot, and the inmates took over this building. And the top floor of the building has a lot of damage, and there's a lot of spray-painted graffiti and things on the walls. And this young lady was looking through, and there was some graffiti on the back wall of one of the cells, and she was trying to read it. She got her face very close to the bars and actually put her face kind of between a couple of the bars, trying to get really close to read the graffiti. And as she put her face through the bars, she felt a hand go down the side of her face like it was petting her.
Oh, my goodness.
And she heard a very clear voice that whispered, "Pretty."
Wow.
And that's probably one of the best things we've gotten out of there. But there's an old tuberculosis hospital that we've done a couple of times that I've felt I've been touched. I was down in the old morgue area taking photographs, and I felt a hand on the back of my neck kind of patting and rubbing the back of my neck. But I've had a couple of interesting experiences there.
That's very, very interesting. That's cool. Well, it's amazing how you have so much experience in doing not only cemetery photography, but your life as a paranormal investigator and a paramedic, and you have such a wide range of skills and expertise, and it's really nice for you to be able to share that with our listeners.
It's been an interesting life.
It's not only an interesting life, but it's very well versed. It's great.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. I think it's really neat,
well,
you know, being
thing,
able to have that skill
yeah,
level and everything.
I do.
But anyway, David, if you, we're getting close to closing, and I wanted to find out if you want to share this with our listeners, if anybody would like to, you know, see your photography or anything, you know, how can they get a hold of you so that they can see your work or how they can they contact you?
Yeah, I have, I do a class on cemetery history and symbolism, and it's a 2-hour class. I've been doing that. I developed that several years ago, and that's kind of fun because it's always changing because I'm always getting new photographs and new symbols and things. I do that several times a year for the community education folks here in Boise. I've given it into historical societies and genealogy societies, different conferences. I've done conferences in Oregon. I've done conferences in Chicago. And basically what I do is the classes is on a PowerPoint presentation, of course, I use. And that's got a small portion of my photographs. And if basically if anybody is interested in seeing that presentation, of course, if they're in the Boise area, they can come see me in person. But I do offer that the full presentation with several hundred photographs and things. excuse me, I do offer that to people. If someone's interested in getting one of those, they can certainly contact me either through you or my email or Facebook, whatever. They could certainly see that presentation. I have several thousand photographs on a website called findagrave.com. I also have several thousand photographs on another website called the United States Genealogy Project. Or, I'm sorry, the United States Cemetery Project. It's called the United States Cemetery Project. I've got several thousand photographs on that. So they could look at those two sites, and eventually they'll run into some of my photographs.
Wonderful. That's great, David. Yeah. I'm glad you're able to share that with the public, and it's amazing how all these different grave sites, the grave sites and the gravestones are so different, just like each person is different.
Yep, that's right. And
thank you so much for your time. Jason and I really appreciate you for being a guest on our show. And hopefully next week things will connect and we won't have any glitches, technical glitches on Jason's end. It's not the same without him being my right-hand man. So, but, yeah, I want to really thank you for your time and just being able to share what you know of not only your experience as a paranormal investigator, but also your photography and your knowledge of symbolism, cemetery symbolism. So we want to thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It was fun.
Yeah, great. Thank you. You take care. Well, guys, next week we're gonna have back Karen Anderson. I don't know if you have heard of her. She is an animal communicator. She's also a medium. And she's going to be back on our show. Her newest book has been released through Amazon, and it's called It's the Amazing Afterlife of Animals. And she's going to talk about that and communicating with different animals. And I'm just glad to have her back. And just a little bit tidbit, and I'm very humbled by that, but Karen has, in her 20-year career, she has named 14 psychic mediums that she felt were the top of the list as far as her experience goes. And thanks to her, I'm one of them. So I really want to thank Karen for being able to, you know, have that opportunity to share different psychic mediums in the book and in her book. So she will join us next week, and we're going to talk about animals, and we're probably just going to ad lib it, see what comes up, and just talk about her communication with them and how we can communicate better with our animals or animals in general. So anyway, thank you so much for listening, and again, so sorry for the technical difficulties. It was a little bit of a bump, but we're going to let you go. And first of all, Jason and I want to tell each and every one of you, thank you so much for your support, your participation, not only to our guests, but to our listeners. And we want to wish each and every one of you a very, very happy new year. So hopefully the new year is going to be good, and just keep your chin up, and we want to thank you, and we want to tell you we love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Take care, and happy new year.